with his death, it affected everybody, all of his brothers that are still left. I called his brother Terry for Thanksgiving, and he just started crying, you know, because he misses them just like we do. So it's hard. They were in there. We know where he was. You know, he was in there for a reason, but that didn't excuse him not coming home. I mean, especially for a short time that he had. So we all always knew he was going to be there no matter what. So I knew I had time to fix our issues, because no matter what, he was always my daddy, no matter what he did. So, and he was always going to be there. And he's not. So that's kind of hard. He called me right before he went in, and he made me promise that I wasn't going to go and see him because he didn't want me to see him like that. So I didn't, and I regret that now, but I mean, you can't go back and do it over.
He was in a coma, yes, on life support, because the diabetic had gone up real high. He was just, the temperature had caused him to go into a coma like that. They said it was just so high, he never did come out of it.
I think he was in for like 2.5 years, a couple years before that. And that was pretty much for the same thing. It was, I think, more for
Hot checks
and theft of over a certain amount and less than a certain amount. I don't remember exactly. But he served his time and he came home like he's supposed to. So I think he was like 2.5 years, but he came back, so... We figure 11 months, that's going to be a piece of cake. He'll be back home. So, it was forgery, right? I think it was forgery, but he only had 11 months. So, and he was, 7 days in there? And then he collapsed, and then 7 days in the hospital. So, I mean, you just, you know, make poor choices, but he was trying to own up to him and, you know, trying to make it right. We were kind of estranged for a while because he was making so many poor choices, and you know, he had been in several times before, so we kind of distanced ourselves until he got his act together and got back being himself. So we were like in the middle of that process whenever he died, so we didn't get to finish that. I've had to go to several counseling sessions. I mean, it's taken a big, big toll. I'll never get over it, and I'll never be able to start that process until it's over.
I know times I'd see the taxi cab go by that Larry
drove. Oh, every time I see a yellow cab,
I would just cry.
Yeah.
Ball, you know, just heartbreaking, you know.
It's bad.
So when I see a taxi cab, I don't look, because I don't want to see the number on it. But it's still hard, you know. I'd still rather have Larry with me.
And just like I said earlier, Christmas time.
That's the worst.
It's worse.
Yeah, anniversaries, Christmas.
His birthday.
Birthdays.
My birthday. I mean, because no matter where he was or anything, he always called me. And then we tried to meet up and see each other on mine and my brother's birthday. So, I mean, he never, ever missed it, ever. He liked being around people, and he liked being around us and Sandy's kids and stuff like that.
Yeah. Have a wallet full of pictures.
I have a wallet in my car. I carry it with me. He has all of us and his grandkids and stuff he had with him all the time. And I still have his watch. I carry
still
it with me all
his
the time.
Watch, yeah. Even my grandkids, there was Papa Larry, you know, called Papa Larry.
My kids called him Santa because he looked just like Santa Claus, because he had a full white, I mean, he had white hair, and that he looked just like Santa Claus, and that's what my kids kind of associated him with, because that's when we saw him most. Character. Do anything in the world for anybody, pretty much, and that's what got him in a situation he was in. He was trying to help somebody out and didn't know what their situation was, and it bit him in the butt. So he was what, a yellow cab for two and a half years?
He was driving yellow cab before we met.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think.
And that job was the longest job he's had my whole life. Mm-hmm. So I was proud of him for that, for, you know, finally growing up, so to speak, and being a dad and a grandpa. He had a hard life, but he was, you know, making it right.
Yeah.
He was just a sweet, loving, kind person. I mean,
Larry was my brother-in-law. He was a wonderful, he was a sweet guy. Just wonderful, sweet guy. Wouldn't hurt a fly. You know, he just kind of messed up, but it wasn't major. Not to the point
where he deserved what he got.
Yeah, how he suffered. Not to that point. Yeah, but, you know, whatever you guys can do in a situation, you know, such as this, it needs to be fixed. It does.
Kind of hits closer to home, too, when it's someone that you know.
Oh, yeah.
And love.
Oh, yeah, like definitely, definitely.
Because that is something you don't, like, you don't sit around and think of. I mean, because they're in prison. So, I mean, but you don't think about how they're treated and taken care of. I mean, they're in there, but you still have to take care of them. I mean, that's their job. So, I mean, they've got to put something in place for some kind of system to where they're able to go somewhere to cool off, at least, and get the proper care. I mean, 7 days with no intake physical is just ridiculous. I mean, it should have never happened. It could have been prevented, and they could have done something about it, and they didn't. I would just, you know, wish that they would take better care. I mean, because they're human beings, and they have families, and they're people, you know. They matter to other people. So... I mean, I knew it wasn't right, and I knew there had to be something that we could try to do to prevent other families from going through the same thing for no reason, really, because, I mean, there's stuff they could do to help and to correct it and prevent it. That's what we're trying to do. He wouldn't want anybody else to go through what we've been, so nobody should.